Amen. So if you don't remember, you've done the inventory. The inventory's pointed out that you may be strong in one, perhaps two. And if you know your gifting, then you can focus on the gifting that you have or the top two that you have. And the Lord will make sure that you have that gets developed. Okay? And then you also want to learn about all the other gifts because we don't live in a vacuum. Page 1 and page 2, page 2 and 3. They're not back and forth because the printer will not work. So take a set. If somehow you didn't get a set, let us know. We'll print some others. We'll make the printer. We'll work on it too. No. They're already collated. Just take a set. Thank you. Awesome. That's why having front and back is good, because there's no... Yeah? Wow, how time flies. It's just a little after 12:00:56. Because there's only one gift today, they have a really good chance we'll get done before just a little after 12:30. We have been speaking on the seven giftings that are spoken of in Romans chapter 12. Paul said in Romans chapter 12 that we have gifts. The word there is charismata. It is the correct Greek word for that. That differ, but that are meant to be used. So different gifts work together for the good of the congregation. Today we discuss the gift of giving, which is the stewardship of God's riches for his purpose. So givers are stewards of someone else's bank, okay? The Almighty's bank. In another teaching that I've done in previous and did not want to review this time, but I will after Shavuot, is that in Corinthians chapter 12 lists says, I'm speaking on spiritual matters, but unfortunately it's been translated, he's speaking on spiritual gifts. So everybody thinks that the rest of Corinthians 12 is where the gifts are listed. And so because healing is mentioned there, then healing is called a gift. Because faith is there, faith is called a gift. Because the discernment or the languages or any of those things, they're called gifts. But the actual Greek text does not use that terminology. And I think that this is where there is disservice to the body of Messiah. If you do not, okay, here's the teacher, the couple of other teachers. If you don't get those words right, you can go wrong in your thinking how that is. And so the King James Version begins by saying now in Corinthians 12, now concerning spiritual gifts. So what do you think the rest of the chapter would be about? Well, it's not. That's not what it says. It's not what it says. Now it says, now concerning pneumaticas, which is translated spiritual matters. Now concerning spiritual matters, I don't want you to be ignorant, Paul said. Look, I could really preach it. I'm not. I could really preach it. Because this was one of those realizations early in my career as a minister in the Church of God. It's wrong. You guys are teaching it wrong. People think, therefore, that you know, the healing is a gift. And, you know, if the Indians have Indian givers... But God's not an Indian giver. As kids, we said, Indian giver, if somebody give you something, take it back. And so, if God gave you a gift, he's not going to take it back, and you're supposed to have the gift of healing, then everybody looks to you for healing. What if the Holy Spirit, it's not because you're less spiritual, but what if the Holy Spirit just all of a sudden decided he wanted to use Elizabeth Apple to be the one that's going to manifest today the gift of healing. And then maybe next week he wants Elizabeth, Polly, now to have the gift of mercy. And then in the fourth week, he decides that, well, I really would like to have the gift of discernment. All right? And so somebody could say, well, Polly, what happened to the healing? Well, I don't know. It just didn't show up. But that wasn't allowed in Christianity when I first became a minister. If you have a gift, that was not allowed. So the people would say, well, wait a minute. Marilyn, what happened to your healing gift? Well, the Lord's not using it right now. Oh. Are you backslidden? Let's go get prayer and pray for her healing in our heart. She needs to commit to the Lord because this is a healing woman. What folly. I'm sorry. What folly. What disservice was done to the body of Messiah. And I tell you what. Don't try to tell Christian churches that those things in Corinthians aren't gifts. Because they're going to say, oh, yes, you know. The King James is the inspired word of God. Well, the King James, all translations are just that, translation of the inspired word of God. The inspired word of God was in Hebrew. And the only thing we have to get close to is the Greek. So I'm sorry, the Greek may be inspired, but the English isn't. That may destroy something for you. I hope so. Actually. So if we're going to say gifts, then I better see the word charisma or charismata, the plural. And if it's not there, then it's not what you're talking about. The word charisma does appear once in Corinthians. It says, now there is a diversity of gifts, but one. And there's a diversity of this, and a diversity of the other. That's in verse 3 of 12. So it's not that there's gifts, and there's diversities of all three things. But one giver, the Holy Spirit. One activator, the Holy Spirit. Why I want to preach it. That right by just that alone meant that I was not going to be popular. I was not going to get a mega church. And watch out if I didn't get excommunicated. Because in what the gifting that I got, I wanted to know early, if I'm talking about the New Testament, I want to know what it's talking about. What was this talking about from the beginning? I've had a Greek, the text of the Greek, from where the Bibles are, translated since 1980. 80. It was part of my book thing in 1981 when I was ordained. And I still have it. It's just that it's in the computer. It's much easier. It's still there. Look, you want to know what the New Testament says? Get the Greek. And look at, it's available online. And it'll show you what the potential English words for that Greek. So, for example, the Holy Spirit is called Paraclete in the Hebrew, in the Greek. But so is the gift of an exhorter called a Paraclete. Does that mean that exhorters are Holy Spirits? Or does that mean that the exhorter functions like the Holy Spirit? Man, this can be liberating to you. Because you can expect the 9 quote spiritual gifts, unquote, which are not spiritual gifts, the 9 manifestations can manifest on you as the Spirit feels like it. And the ministerial gifts can on you as a spirit. Well, I'm just a giver. No, you can be, as a giver, you can be a teacher, you can be a prophet, you can be all kinds of stuff. As a giver, you can be this, you can be that. You can be all the things that are in the Bible. You go, well, I'm just a giver. This is my motivation is giver. So how am I manifesting all these other things? How can I be a ruler if I'm a giver? Well, it's one real, real simple answer. The Spirit of God, which means that I'm a vessel, an instrument. An instrument of what? An instrument of whatever he wants. So if he wants me to stand upside down, I'm going to try. And if he wants me to manifest faith, is word of faith, or he wants me to bring it on. I mean, I can't make that stuff up. But when he brings it on, he brings it on. This is the reason. You are free. Let me give you an example today. Did you notice the prophet and the exhorter working together this morning? Did you not notice? Did you not notice the prophet and the exhorter? Did you not hear the prophet over there become an exhorter? Go back to the prophet. Jump back and forth. I'm going like, well, that's what women do because they can do that. No, that's the gift. That's the Holy Spirit. Did they have? Oh, we communicated the scriptures today. You knew, Gloria, didn't you? I didn't even answer your text again. So we haven't communicated. Only one way. He texted me. I didn't text him back. And you didn't know what I had written there. There you are quoting it. You're quoting it. Go listen. Listen again. I'm hearing the freedom that's coming about when the gifts are allowed to be their gift. And with balance and the submission to rulers and the submission to leaders, etc., how it can function and benefit the congregation. Look, this is good stuff. But we could have ended today the message part when the exhorter and the prophet got done. Just say, hallelujah, let's just sing. Without not even the slightest bit of shame or the slightest bit of, nothing. We are so advanced in this congregation, you don't have a clue. Listen, I'm just going to say it like it is. We can become one of the conduits of the Holy Spirit to manifest, and it doesn't have to be me. It can be us, all of us. The magnitude of that is the world hasn't really seen yet, except back there in the book of Acts. And by the way, let's not forget that there's also celebrations. And we had a brand new grandmother sitting right here. Brand spanking new grandma. I mean, you don't look like a grandma, but I'm gonna call you grandma. And Grandpa Sam is out there. So, you know, give him a hug today and say, hi, Grandpa. That's what I said. I saluted him saying, hey, Grandpa, how you doing? And they are doing great. The baby's fine. She had a wonderful delivery and onward in blessing. Onward in blessing. You know, I Stephanie wrote me today, and this week, and I spoke with the elders ahead, before service. So we're going to set up a nursing mother's room. Well, yours is the first one. When was that? We're making preparations for when they come here. Just saying. And we're making preparations for your, let's see. In the 20s now, in the 20s, Stephanie, forgive me if I'm violating something I don't want to. Hasn't God shown you about life and life more abundant? Isn't he like having a joke? He's laughing so hard because what the enemy meant for harm, he's turned for good, and through you have come three who are making a big bouquet for the Lord. And if you'd like to know what I'm talking about, talk to her. I'm over already, okay? So I'm 5 minutes behind. The last one spoken of is giver. But we place giver in the center of the menorah. Because the giver is the one who takes all of the inputs and all of those things and functions to make things happen. Who illustrates this better in the scripture than anybody else? There is one. Matthew. Did you know Matthew was a money man? Did you know Matthew has more to say about money than any other writer in the book? He was the one who delineated for us in his gospel, you know, various kinds of things, and talked about them and seemed to be important. John didn't think that was important. John Mark didn't think that was important either. And even my hero Luke didn't think that was important. Matthew had something to say as well. Excellent writer. What did Paul have to say to givers? In Romans 12:13, Paul said that you're to share what you have with God's people. And that is one of the greatest motivations for a giver. They like to share God's gifts with God's people. They're there to practice hospitality. The givers are to practice hospitality. You might imagine that if you're a giver, that you're probably not sure you want everybody coming to your house because you may not have anything left when they leave. I give it all to them. What is the scriptural principle that the person with the gift of giver most need to exercise? The answer to that is ownership. The principle of ownership. You know what the principle of ownership is? That you don't own nothing. It's not mine. It's the Lord's. My car. No. God's car that I'm steward over. My congregation. No. No. 1,000 times no. This is Yeshua's congregation that I'm a steward over. My house. No. It's not my house. It's God's house. Whenever the weather comes in, we pray about God's house. Lord, you know how to take better care of your property than I know. So don't allow the enemy through the wind or the rain or any of that to bring damage to your property, Lord, that we're stewards over. That's the way. My car. No, I it's his car. He has three. In Joel's house, there are more than three. Some are projects. All right, let's talk about givers because they're awesome people. Awesome people. What are the positives and negatives of giver? Number one, positive. They're able to see resources. They're able, a giver has the ability to discern wise investments. His motivation is to use assets of time, money, possessions to advance the work of the Lord. If a person with the gift of giving has limited funds, in other words, if they're not just so rich, look, we all told to be givers, the rich and the poor. If a person with the gift of giving has limited funds, they're still able to use their ability of recognizing what available resources are and how to best invest them to bring about the top thing that God wants. How can they also then, what would be the more carnal use of that gift is that they see so much that they could keep their heart and mind and mouth closed and keep it to themselves. That's called hoarding. An effective use of the gift of giving depends on having the fear of the Lord. One way you learn the fear of the Lord is by regular giving. It was for this purpose that the tithe was established, Deuteronomy 14, 22 and 23. If a giver stops exercising his gift of giving, he will not only begin to lose the fear of the Lord, but if he's in storing up stuff, it could cause him to become stagnant. Then you would need two. I need two of those big things that you park dumpsters in my house so that Marilyn and I can do appropriate spring cleaning. But if we were a giver and got stagnant, I might take three. Because the givers that I've known, they just go. They used to go to the garage sales, and they come back with all kinds of things. What was that for? My wife used to go with the other one. They come back with all kinds of stuff. Number one, where's this woman? I wanted to say. When I didn't know anything about gifts, you're supposed to hang on to some of that money. Why did you buy a bunch of this stuff that you're not even going to use? Well, Marilyn, who was with her, I would say something. She'd say, oh, no, you don't understand. When she saw it, she saw somebody else's name on it and went and got it for that somebody else. And she's going to give it to them. Watch me. Watch her. Sure enough, within a week or so, somebody else will get it. This poor woman was buying for everybody, including me. I didn't understand it. I go like, oh my gosh, I don't get this. Why would she do that?
Because I didn't know about gift of giving. Didn't understand it.
Number two, they invest themselves with the gift. Oh, wow. A giver needs continuous reassurance that his decisions are in God's will, whether he has little or much to give. To achieve this, he will first give himself, then his gift. I watched this one lady do. Her name is Shelby. I love Shelby. Shelby, one of the people that told Marilyn that you're holding up God's work. You need to get married to that guy. Because that's what Marilyn, the prophet, had to hear. Three different voices say that. You might want to ask her what the other voices were. I love Shelby. She's in my side. Hallelujah. Since all believers must practice giving, Paul explained how the Macedonians gave themselves to the Lord, which means by God's will to us. Okay? A misuse of that could be that they could use gifts to control people. Don't be bothered by the people who are leaving. They spoke to me way ahead of time and said, when we get up to leave, it's not because we don't like what you're talking about. It's because we have something we need to do. Go in peace. A giver has a desire to make sure that his gifts are wisely invested and used. Thus, he will often buy good quality instead of giving the money. Well, why don't they give money? They find even better. She could take that $10 and turn it into $150 for all kinds of people, including me. I was a professor. Look, when these gifts began to manifest and I began to understand what God was doing, all I could do was humble myself and cry. Number three, desire to give high quality. I agree. No junk. Because garage sales are full of junk. But Shelby found all of the diamonds, all of the rubies, all of the awesome stuff. And she would go find it and wouldn't even know what it was. I mean, she one time showed up with this thing. I don't know what it is, but the Holy Spirit said, get it for Tony. I said, Shelby, what? This for me? The Holy Spirit. Shelby goes, you know what that is? I had no idea. Oh, okay. It was a slide rule. He wants things to last. Matthew recorded in greater detail than any other gospel the gifts given to Yeshua. So how do you know what the three kings from Orient are? How do you know what they brought? Matthew tells you about it. He tells you what they brought. Junk. No. What did they bring? Quiz. Gold, okay, that's pretty good. Frankincense and myrrh, like Maryland's name in Hebrew is myrrh. What is frankincense and myrrh? Yes. Perseus perfume, yes. You want to know more than that? Two of the three components of the anointing oil of the temple. They figured Mary could get her own olive oil. Make the anointing for the real sacrifice lamb of God that Mary had in her hands. Can you imagine? Don't. Let me. I'm sorry. I'm not going to let you go as early as I wanted to. On a negative side, they could force higher living standards. If a giver's focus is more on the quality of the gift than the need it is meeting, it can cause the receiver to be dissatisfied with the quality of other things he owns. I did like that slide rule. It was awesome. A giver could also excuse personal luxuries on the basis that he's generous with his money. But remember, you got to be faithful with little so you can be faithful. You can be trusted with much. Number four, givers hope that the gift answers prayer. There's nothing that motivates more of a giver than when the Holy Spirit drops, get this for so-and-so. And they go get it in faith. Show up with it, and the person goes, how did you know? I've seen this. I saw this in Shelby. She'd go like, the Lord said to bring you this. And the person said, well, how did you know? I said, well, what do you mean, how did I know? I was just, the Holy Spirit just said, get this for you. This is what I've been praying for da-da-da-da-da years or da-da-da-da-da, whatever. And how did you know? That's because she prayed to the right God that has the right Holy Spirit that spoke to the giver and said, go get it. And he used a widow with her might to get such things. I'm telling you, this is awesome. 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 A person in the poorest state, abandoned person with many boys, with nothing, just barely living, would spend most of her, sometimes the money for food, to do what God wanted. I had to be part of this now. I started out wanting to get Marilyn out of this stupidity. And then I joined it and became the biggest stupid one. She didn't run the aisles like I did. I have a distinction of running the aisles really good. And I had the distinctions of running the aisle to go to the back and look at men. So you're safe now, Dave. You're safe, Dave. You're safe, Dave. I mean, God must, this must be a holy, there's more Davids around here that you, have you, okay. Think for a moment what I'm saying. There's a bunch of King Davids here. But don't go tell King David what to do. But in those days, I would run the aisle and maybe go stand right in front of David over there, point my finger on his nose. I said, you need to worship the Lord right now. You know, most of those men didn't say anything because they were like in shock. They want to talk to the pastors that you've released this crazy Puerto Rican on us. This guy is nuts. This guy is nuts. He doesn't follow boundaries. They said that when I play the piano, it bounced up and down there, everywhere. That it was not uncommon for me to go run and just go tell a David something from the Lord. You know, I actually didn't care if they received it or not. I had to do it. And it was up to them and the Lord to react. The negative side of this is that givers can have a feeling of guilty about personal assets. If they don't happen to be that don't own anything, you know, so that's not an issue there because they don't have nothing. But those that have, and God uses everybody in the body that can be a giver to be a giver. So if you have and you used to be a giver, okay, then you could feel guilty because you have all these assets. A giver who is not in fellowship with the Lord will begin to feel guilt as he has stuff. But even if he's preparing for a special need, he must have the reassurance from the Lord that his plans are according to his will. The giver understands that they own nothing. The real givers understand that it's not about them. It's not about their money. And so you go, well, this didn't work, did it? And they go, well, so what? God gives and the Lord taketh away. We had little when we were young. We have what we have now. And it's for God. And if he told us to do it over here, he didn't tell me to give it to you. Hallelujah. Number five, desire to give secretly. I share that with givers. I don't like spectacles. Giving spectacles. I don't. You want to get me excited? Just start that kind of thing. And I will get up and walk out. My wife will say, you don't need to do that because you're so-and-so and so-and-so. And say, well, so-and-so and so-and-so. I got to get out of here. So all these pressure things about giving and all that, that starts, I go. Done. Finished. Now when nobody expects, that's when the Holy Spirit says, it's your chance. I do that for you.
What do you mean you do it for me?
For Colt Simca. Colt Simca actually gives significant gifts to the Joseph Project, to things that are going on in Israel. But I don't do it when they're asking for it. I never do it when they're asking for it. I do it on Sunday afternoon where they don't think they're going to get it. They all go moaning, we really need this money. I'll be moaning. I'm going like, that's because you don't know what I know. You're fixing to get the biggest offering you had all weekend long because Kol Simcha is investing thousands of dollars in what you're doing. But if you put the pressure on me, I become butter. Not a butter peanut butter sandwich cookie. So desire to give secretly. The giver knows the future reward is more valuable than the present praise. So he wants to give it quietly. He doesn't want anybody to know. Matthew is the only gospel writer who emphasized secret giving. The only one. Okay? On the other hand, you can drive that to an extreme and reject it when there's appeals that are really necessary. I'm not one of those. Look, if I ever come to you to say, we really need to give to this thing, because I learned that I have to. No, Lord, I don't want to do that. Where is Rabbi Solomon when you need him? Who could get, he could get those chairs to give. Don't put me in charge of the offering. You won't get much. But then I was asked to ask for the offering. I said, well, why are they asking me to take the offering? Don't they know? I have a reputation. I don't know. I don't even know how to pass the pan. Because we don't do that in my congregation. And I wanted to teach the congregation from early. You're almost 30 years old, congregation. That it's not about pressuring you to give. It's about allowing you to have the honor to do this on your own time. No matter whether we have a service or not, or you ask for it or not, none of those things. And guess what? It's working. Knock on wood, it's working in this congregation. Sometimes we need to hear appeals. Number six, they're concerned that giving may corrupt. Shelby was like that. A mature giver understands that the destructiveness of the love of stuff and money. They're aware that the disciplines that God taught them in acquiring these assets may not have been learned by those who need the assistance. Therefore, he looks for ways of giving which avoid dependency, slothfulness, and extravagance. Do you know those words? Givers know. And if there's some danger, sometimes the giver will give you something and say, listen. There's a bunch of stuff in this package. And it's just for you to be a girl and enjoy it. Okay, I don't get packages like that because I don't need to learn to be a boy and enjoy it. I get such things as, here's a card for you to go get a steak. I'm like, I know. It's not going to be a sandwich today. It's going to be a steak. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Man, and the wallet's not going to cry. The wallet doesn't cry at those times. They go like, I splurge. I get the big steak. And we share it. But I get the big one. It's like, anyway. A negative use could be that they can be real stingy with the family. They can give sparingly to the family. In other words, givers are known to give to other people, and then the family goes, well, we don't ever get nothing. I sure did hear that in Ocala. I heard it a lot. The frugality of a giver is often extended to his own wife and children. He wants them to be frugal too. And they don't want to be frugal. However, if she or she doesn't know, show the same concern, care, and delight in meeting the needs of their own family as they do others, they could be a problem. That makes sense? Well, doesn't that make like tremendous sense? It's like, oh my gosh, as I look back in the 1980 and 81 years, wow, what an awesome testimony of God's gifts were these people in my life. They exercise personal thriftiness. They know where the sale items are. They also keep coupons. Oh, I would be handed coupons by Shelby all the time. I'd go like, how did you know that I want that stuff? I never took credit. The Holy Spirit just. Then I go, well, this is the Holy Spirit. What's the difference? Well, the Holy Spirit not telling me stuff like that. The personal assets which the giver has are often the result of consistent personal frugality. While being content with the basics, a giver will always be concerned in getting the best buy and not with how much he has left. He will spend extra effort and time in saving money and being resourceful with what they have. The negative could be that they could give to projects versus people. The ones that know how to take up offerings always want to emphasize the project, not the people. But if you emphasize the people, I would be more apt to want to give. Anyway, if a giver loses his focus on meeting the needs of people, he may unduly be attracted to projects. His desire for measuring the value may prompt him to build a memorial of his generosity. We need to get this giver involved here so that the project will get funded, because they know where the good stuff is. And they may not even be interested, but, oh, well, I'll get some credit here. The emphasis on scriptural giving is distributing to the necessity of the saints. Paul's collections was for the needy, not for the rich. Number 8, they use gifts to multiply giving. I do not understand that. So when one of those people that takes up offerings would say, well, Johnny come lately, just gave $1,000. How many of you want to give another 1,000? Let's see. How many of you are motivated to give this 1,000? When that stuff happens, Tony Arroyo would practice leaving the scene of the accident quickly. The motivation of a giver is to encourage others to give. So I actually misjudged some of these people, because they weren't getting anything out of it. They were just really, they had a way to fund it better. I met a giver named Scott Seculo, Rabbi Scott Seculo, in Atlanta, Georgia, and observed how he functioned in this area. Causing people to look to him versus God, that's a negative, because you could think you're so important that if you're not involved, it's not going to happen. Like God doesn't get move on people. Well, actually, you know, I'm being facetious here, okay? So it's kind of a joke, but just tell you the truth. When a giver is not involved and you have somebody other than the gifts involved in that this part of it, it doesn't function really well. Now, if we get him involved, they activate the Holy Spirit in everybody when it's about the Lord, not about them. It's about the Lord. You get it? Do you get it? Do you get it? Okay. Lastly, they love to confirm amount with counsel. Boy, did I see that with Shelby Kassler. A giver reacts to pressure appeals. Oh, doesn't react too well to pressure appeals, what I should say. He looks instead for financial needs that others tend to overlook. A husband who has the gift of giving will always confirm the amount that he should give by asking his wife. Shelby didn't have somebody to ask, so she would ask me. sometimes. And I would give her the answer and then go, oh, man. The Holy Spirit just said, oye, tacaño. What did I say? Kim, what did I say? Because they don't know. Hey, tacaño. And the Holy, you know, some voice would say, look, she's confirming that this should be done by there. And you were thinking $10. And now the Holy Spirit has got that number by like 100. He could even get that number to 1,000. Like, oh. That's what the wallet is doing. And when it's connected to your heart, the wallet starts crying. Oh, cry, violin to Elohim. Oh, cry, wallet, to the guy holding it. And it's like, this goal goes unnoticed. They just think I look funny. People sometimes. Tony, you look so funny. Thank you very much. That's because the wallet's speaking to me. And the Holy Spirit's speaking to me. And then I confirmed with the wife. She said, huh, that looks like a little low. Should it have been this other thing? That's always true. So I write the check before I ask her. I'm kidding. But a giver could wait too long to give. If a giver is not instantly obedient to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, he may lose the joy of seeing, of receiving the promptings of the Holy Spirit to see something accomplished that God wanted done. This is a really important component, okay? Because we're all supposed to be givers. We don't need to let the purses cry. Before the wallet cries out. Right? Before the rocks cry out, worship the Lord. Before the wallets cry out, we can worship the Lord. We can be, all of us are supposed to be givers. I think that I have all of the negatives of a giver, but I'm not a giver. I put this little chart there because I thought you'd like it. What's this little chart? Understand how a gift functions in a situation. Let's say that 7 of you go to the hospital to visit somebody at the hospital. Okay? And all 7 of you are from a different perspective. Here's what might happen. The server might say, here's a little gift. Now I brought your mail in. I fed your cat. It says dog, but I changed it to cat. All right? Water your plants and wash your dishes and did your laundry. The person in the hospital, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. At that moment, they may not think about it, but when they get ready to go home, they get there to a clean kitchen and go like, oh, my God. I love you. I could just, okay, so what the teacher, how could the teacher? So somebody like me shows up. I did some research on your illness. And I believe I can explain to you what's happening right now and how you need to stay balanced. Okay? The mercy. Talking to some of you mercy people. I don't understand you, but anyway. I can't begin to tell you how I felt when I learned how you were so sick. How do you feel now? What's the important thing? Do you hear what's the important thing? How do you feel now? Notice that there was not a single word of feeling in the teacher. Not about feeling, about let's get the giver. Do you have insurance? How's this gonna get paid? Do you have an idea?
No idea.
I got some ideas. All right? The organizer, the ruler, the leader. Don't worry about a thing. I've assigned all your duties to these other people. And I've organized everything in your house, and it will be done. Notice, it will be done. Not, I'm going to do it. But I'm going to call on all these servers I know, and they're going to do it. And it's a great plan. It'll be all. Just tell them about the plan. They see the end from the beginning. It's like a prophet. Oh, I love this. What do you think God is trying to say through this illness? Is there any unconfessed sin in your life? Have you repented yet of those words you said to your cat? It sounds funny, huh? But it's true. You know what they're after? The root cause. Because if the root cause, and you mean all this happening and all that is because of a spiritual problem? Let me tell you, the world doesn't know that they're in trouble. And it's a spiritual problem all the time. And the prophet is the first one to think about the spiritual component of what's going on. That's what this is trying to say. The exhorter. That, I guess that would be Joe and Chlore. How can we use what you're learning so that we can teach it to others to help them in the future? What steps have you learned so that we can give these steps to somebody else to get over what they're doing in the future? They don't sound alike, do they? In fact, the teacher could say, well, mercy. All you can care about is how they feel. I ain't going to get it done. You know, and the mercy could say, well, prophet, all you're concerned about is the spiritual condition, but right now they can't even get out of the bed. They feel so bad. You know, and maybe the giver would say, all of you are just baloney. Somebody's got to handle this. They're going to just be some money owed here. That's got to be handled. And the server could say, none of you thought about any giving them a gift. I don't think about gifts. I've been pastoring this congregation for 30 years. And I know that I have to have a designation called flowers. What do you think about flowers? It's irrelevant what you think about flowers. I can't talk, no. And I don't want you to go pick them because you will know how to pick. So I did get excited when it's alive. I feel like it's more when it, you know, like a plant that's going to stand and speak instead of roses. But if I show up on Mother's Day or I show up to her birthday with, I found this bush that makes oregano. Here's an oregano plant for you for your birthday. Okay, episode 1, episode 2. a little smarter, called a daughter. The daughter said, "Dad, red ones this time." "What do you mean, red ones? Those things are dead." "Dad, red ones." "Got it?" "Got it." I didn't do it. The person, the dad on the other side, made me do it. And so I show up with a dozen roses and watch that woman just go nuts. Go like, "All dozen roses for me? You thought about me this way? You're spending your money on dead things just for the prettiness for me?" Et cetera, et cetera. And I receive all of that. Guilt. Guilt is, so at that point, I usually confess. "I don't need the credit. It was Amen." And what is said to me afterwards? I had a feeling, small feeling, that she was involved. I said, "Yeah, father and daughter project. Hallelujah." Right, Amen? She always helps me with stuff like that because I think, even though she's a teacher too, she has these other things that I don't have. So, what, can I give mom a new can opener? Yeah, so we can go bowling. I know. I mean, I can get her a pool stick. And she goes like, "No." And because we have this kind of relationship, she doesn't just sugarcoat it. She said, "Dad, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. You don't want to give stupid gifts." I said, "Well, what should I give? How about flowers, Dad?" "Oh, okay. That, you're out of my league. You're from New York." She's from Jessup, Georgia. They don't have diamonds in Jessup, Georgia. So I give her flowers and, how about some bread and some croissants? And I'm able to say something like, "Yeah, you like bread and croissants. She likes this other flower thing at the bakery. Yeah, those are $5. Yeah, those. Well, how about some ice cream?" "Don't get vanilla, Dad. She doesn't like vanilla. That's what you like." "Okay. You need to find something with the word pecan in it. That's a starting position. Praline. Oh, that's a better position. Not chocolate, but how about some caramel?" "Huh? Pecan, praline, caramel. I mean, that's really sweet, right?" "Got it, Dad?" "Yeah, it's so much easier to fulfill the obligations of Mother's Day and birthdays when there's a daughter somewhere. Or for that matter, a son, because he also could do it. On the other hand, they inherited that from the milkman, because I didn't have that. I don't have any of that." Okay, that's the Holy Spirit either did it or it comes from the mom. That's why we all say, including Sam. "Sam, great job with Zach. It was his mother." "Oh, yeah, I agree, Sam. It was the mom. Because if it was up to us, it wouldn't happen." I hope you had fun. I had fun. Because now I'm free before you. And you're free in the congregation. Okay? So what do you think is Marilyn's and Clore's number one motivation?
Would you like to guess?
Profit. They're just following the script. They have to stand up and say something because that's what Peter did. Don't get angry at them. Just go, if you got coffee at that point, you break up the coffee and you go, let me sip my coffee here while everybody gets condemned into getting saved. Or if a mercy takes over, that. So we put Jacob and Candace, and they start talking about feelings and concern about, feeling. I don't need any feelings here. We need to get this done. You get that component. God save you if you don't have a mercy somewhere in your life. You be the most. How about servers? We need servers? Oh, you bet you. There was an accident that happened in the congregation this morning, and servers got mobilized immediately. Well, do we need rulers? Like these two ladies right here. You bet you we need that. You bet you we need that. Do we need exhorters? Clore exercises exhorting, and so does Joe. Do you hear his exhortations? Well, the Lord said, this is what I needed to share. You go like, huh? And so he did. Do you see the exhorter part of Dan? I don't know what your gift is, but I would say you're kind of an exhorter. Prophet exhorter, okay, awesome. Well, he has to. And the longer you're married, the more he'll have. I had zero prophet, but now that I've been married 42 years, I got a lot of it. It's called self. So I blew it. Now it's almost like 1 o'clock, right? It is 1 o'clock. All right. No more series for you, Arroyo. No more.